traveling on a big cruise ship 2 summers ago, I was excited to see Venice for the first time in years and experience its beauty and culture with family. We docked in Ravenna, then traveled by bus 2 hours north to our destination. I didn't mind the ride. After all, Venice's delicate ecosystem and vulnerability to flooding had made the city's decision to ban large cruise ships in 2021 seem obvious. But Venice is not alone. Major tourist ports throughout Europe and beyond are also grappling with the pollution and other risks that come from big ships packed with people, as Monitor contributor Doug Strzok explores in today's issue. Cruises are growing in popularity, and with that, responsible stewardship of the planet also gains currency. It's Friday, August 1st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Trump signaled a 90-day negotiating period with Mexico. The U.S. president posted online Thursday that his phone conversation with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum was very successful. Mr. Trump said goods from Mexico imported into the U.S. would continue to face a 25% tariff that he has linked to fentanyl trafficking. He said copper, aluminum, and steel would be taxed at 50%. President Sheinbaum said Thursday she expected a security accord with the U.S. to come as soon as next week. Health data is to be uploaded to private apps. A new U.S. initiative aims to make it easier to access records and monitor wellness. More than 60 companies, including tech firms such as Google, Amazon, and Apple, as well as healthcare giants like United Health Group and CVS Health, have agreed to share patient data in the system. Medicare and Medicaid officials, who will be in charge of maintaining the system, say patient data will be secure. Experts warn of ethical and legal concerns. Also, Lebanon's president stepped up calls for Hezbollah to disarm. Joseph Aoun suggested Thursday that failure to do so would give Israel an excuse to continue attacks. He said the issue would be taken up at a cabinet meeting next week. Pressure has mounted over the issue of Hezbollah's arms, which has loomed over Lebanon since the Iran-aligned group was pummeled in a war with Israel last year. Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem said in a televised speech Wednesday that calls for its disarmament served only Israel. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The international community has unified around the question of Palestinian statehood, diverging from the U.S. and Israel. But will it make a difference? Not since the mid-1950s, under Dwight Eisenhower, has a U.S. president held such sway over Israel. Ned Temko reports for the Monitor. President Donald Trump has focused on building military strength, which has big implications for America's defense, economy, and foreign policy. Attracting new soldiers has required extra effort. Anna Mulrine Groby reports from Washington for the Monitor. Female genital mutilation has long been a critical rite of passage for girls in Sudan. But now, exiled by civil war to Egypt, their mothers are quietly breaking with this harmful tradition. Contributor Faten Sobi reports from Cairo for the Monitor. Europeans have been pushing back on over-tourism. For many, the issue is more than just crowds. It's also pollution from vessels that visitors ride in on. Is there a way for port cities to have needed cruise dollars and cleaner air? Doug Strzok reports from Barcelona, Spain, for the Monitor. At the Brimfield Antique Flea Market in Massachusetts, the love of the perfect find brings people back year after year. There's also the sense of community the market has always fostered. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Nate Eigelhart report from Brimfield, Massachusetts for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how stand-ups won't sit down in China. Stand-up comedians almost everywhere tread a fine line. They can amuse or challenge. They can spark a social reckoning or tap into one. They can engender acclaim or backlash. In China, where unauthorized public dissent can lead to private tragedy, they are doing all of those things, and often all at the same time. The genre has emerged as a powerful and complex form of creative expression, states University of Richmond professor Dan Chen, who researches how comedy influences public opinion in China. While the ruling Communist Party controls much of the public discourse, she adds, popular demand for norm-breaking humor continues to grow. This demand, among those Chinese who watch live or live-streaming comedy shows, underscores the role of humor under authoritarian rule. It can be both subtly subversive and individually liberating. When we tell jokes, we are often simply testing opinions or ideas that we are unsure of, according to Jonathan Waterlow, author of a book about how humor sustained ordinary citizens under the Soviet regime of Joseph Stalin. Writing on the culture website Eon, he noted, "We laugh in the darkest times, not because it can change our circumstances, but because it can always change how we feel about them." Although political farce and wry wit flowered in the China of a century ago, few comedians today risk making overtly political jokes. In 2023, one comic was banned after he jested about the military and his company was fined $1.9 million. Instead, they shrewdly critique social conventions. And as more women enter the industry, traditionally unequal gender relations and deep-seated biases are becoming prominent topics and political flashpoints. Most women and at least some men appreciate the humor, but the authorities are not amused. Last week, the government of Zhejiang province criticized jokes that provoke and stir up opposition between men and women. The warning followed a wave of popularity around comedy newcomer Fan Chunli. The royal mother and former sanitation worker joked about marriage, domestic abuse, and divorce. Many in her audience applauded when she revealed she had left her husband. Authorities often criticize outspoken women as Western-influenced, which comedian Fan is demonstrably not. Her humor, London School of Economics communications professor Bingchun Meng told CNN, indicates that discontent around traditional Confucian patriarchal values is widespread. Whether cultural or political, humor is a valuable way of dealing with overly restrictive systems. Despotism has to hold itself up as pompous, powerful, and inviolable, wrote exiled Chinese lawyer and activist Teng Biao for Radio Free Asia. Jokes dissolve tyranny. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how leaning on God's, Spirit's, view of existence empowers us to overcome obstacles. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2025.